participants are muted. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the release semi-annual figures press conference. Please note that for the duration of the presentation, all participants will be in listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. Should anyone need assistance during the conference call, they may signal an operator by pressing star and zero on the telephone. This call must not be recorded for publication or broadcast. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Dr. Baumgartner. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, operator. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for your interest in Schweiter Technologies, and welcome to our half-year results conference call. Together with me are my colleagues, Ernesto Mauro, CEO of SSM Textile Machinery, Lorenzo Giaré, CEO of Ismeca Semiconductor, and Georg Reiff, CEO of 3A Composites. This conf call is structured such as that I will briefly update you about the highlights of the half year 2010 and give you a short outlook for the second half, followed by an extended Q&A session where we will be happy to answer your questions. As usually, I have to start with the disclaimer. This call might contain forward-looking statements which reflects management's current views and estimates. The forward-looking statement involves certain risks and uncertainties that could cause actual results to differ materially from those contained in the forward-looking statements. Potential risks and uncertainties include such factors as general economic conditions, foreign exchange fluctuations, competitive product and pricing pressures, as regulatory developments. Now, what were the highlights of the first semester 2010? As you have probably seen the results we have released this morning, we have for the first time consolidated our 3A Composites business for 6 months with overall good results despite an increase in raw material prices and some currency fluctuations. As you are primarily interested in the wind segments, I can assure you that we had a strong semester in wind, mainly due to the business in China, which compensated weaker markets in Europe and in US. We have also seen a significant market recovery in textile machinery and semiconductor, mostly driven by Asian countries, mainly China. This resulted in good volume and bottom line results, also due to continued tight cost management. Overall, we showed a strong group EBITDA with 48.5 million Swiss francs and a net income of 23.6 million Swiss francs. In addition, we have a very solid balance sheet and still approximately 300 million in cash and treasury shares available for future investment. Now, I would like to quickly guide you through some financial highlights of our three divisions, and I will start with SSM Textile Machinery. In the semi-annual report, we had to make a comparison with the first semester 2009. However, it might be more interesting for you to get an idea how the first semester 2010 developed compared to the second semester 2009. If you look at this comparison, SSM Textile Machinery still had a strong increase in orders and received and revenues by about one third. Revenues totaled 43.8 million Swiss francs. That is already more than what we have generated in the full year of 2009. EBITDA was 7.4 million, which equals roughly an EBITDA margin of 17%. We had only a slight increase in the number of employees, mainly due to the extension of our Chinese facility. Overall, we had the gross margin significantly increased, and we had a couple of new innovations successfully introduced in the market. If you are interested in these innovations, the CEO of SSM is happy to give you further insights in our Q&A session. Results of Ismeca Semiconductor were quite strong as well. Ismeca Semiconductor had generated $50.2 million in sales. Orders received were $73.1 million, which means we will start the second semester with a significant backlog, and which means also that if we properly manage the ramp-up, sales in H2 most probably will be higher than in H1. EBITDA was $6.5 million, which equals an EBITDA margin of roughly 13%. We also had a rather minor increase only in number of employees. These were mainly employees on a temporary base employed in our factory in Malaysia. Gross margin also further improved despite still competitive market environment, and at Ismeca Semiconductor as well, the business benefited from the successful market introduction of various new products, which will be presented, if you are interested, a little bit in more detail also in our Q&A session. Last but not least, the result of 3A Composites. Orders received $416 million, revenue $387 million on a pro forma base. This is an increase of roughly 14% in sales against the 2009 figures. EBITDA was $35.9 million equals 9.3% EBITDA margin. As I said at the beginning, the margin was partly negatively affected by an increase in raw material prices. A couple of initiatives has been taken to pass on a part of this raw material price increases to our customers, and the result of these initiatives will be effective in H2 of this year. EBIT was around 22 million, and number of employees increased, but basically only in our Ecuadorian balsa plantation sites, where we were facing a strong demand for balsa in our Chinese markets for wind. Overall, 3A Composites showed a solid volume development, as I said, a strong core material business, but also a strong recovery in display due to restocking activities. Architecture overall was slightly down, with strong sales, however, in India and Middle East. We had standalone and separation cost in the amount of about 3 million Swiss francs in the first semester. A similar amount was capitalized, and we are expecting about the same amounts to show up again in H2. Overall, group results it is rather meaningless to compare it with last year, as the scope of consolidation was different. Overall, I think with 48.5 million EBITDA equaling 10% EBITDA margin and a consolidated EBIT of 33.7 and a net income of 23.6 million, we had a good first semester 2010. Regarding the consolidated figures, I see some further room for improvements in the tax rate, where we have some potential to optimize our tax structure, especially in 3A composites. Regarding our balance sheet, we have a cash position of 260 million. If you add our treasury share position, we have more than 300 million in cash and treasury shares available. We have very low short and long-term bank liabilities. We have a minor goodwill position of 60 million. We have a shareholder's equity of 644 million, equaling 445 Swiss francs per share. And we have an equity ratio of 72%. What are, and now I come to the priorities and the outlook for the second semester. Key priorities are basically the same as we have already indicated at our annual press conference in March this year. In SSM Textile Machinery, we will continue with our expansion project Asia. We will continue to strengthening our supply chain also, especially in Asia, and we are still monitoring whether it might be possible to do one or two minor complementary acquisitions if possible. For Ismeca Semiconductor, one priority of course is to properly manage the ramp up where we are still in. Another priority is the execution of our LED strategy. We have the market introduction of the new products, which we will continue, and then of course an issue which always has priority at Schweiter, further cost reductions on new modules. For 3A composites, we will continue to refocus our business activities again on customers and business opportunities. However, a part of the organization is still absorbed with the project standalone, which basically will be terminated at the end of this year. And then, of course, we are also thinking about the future strategy assessment and organic growth, and also growth by acquisition is an issue we are dealing with. What does that mean for the outlook of H2? We are expecting in textile machinery an ongoing solid order intake. We have seen volume orders coming back. China most probably will remain strong, however, maybe a little bit weaker than in H1. On the other side, the business in India is picking up and might compensate a little bit for lower order intake from China. And we are also expecting an ongoing positive contribution from our extended local assembly unit in China. Ismeca Semiconductor as well, strong order intake should continue in the second semester. Due to the huge order backlog, we expect good sales, most probably higher than in H1. ramp up, however, still as a challenge, and their main challenge is the availability of parts and material. We are expecting the new product having a positive effect on the result, and this might further strengthen our bottom line in H2. 3A Composites, we are expecting a solid course of business. This will be continued in H2. Wind energy in Asia is expected to remain strong. We have at least short-term a question mark in the U.S. in wind, but maybe also in display and architecture. However, medium to long-term prospects there are also quite positive. In addition, with the ability to focus again on our key customers and on business opportunities, we are also expecting a positive impact on the results of 3A Composites in H2. This was, in a nutshell, some remarks regarding the performance of H1 and some guidance regarding the course of business for the second semester. I'm now giving back to the operator, please.
Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press 01 on their touch-tone telephone. You will hear a tone to confirm that you have entered the queue. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press 02. Participants are requested to use only handsets while asking a question. Anyone who has a question may press 01 at this time. We have the first question from Mr. Roger Steiner from WZ Bank. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon. First of all, congratulations to these results. I have three questions. The first one on CapEx. CapEx seemed, at least in my model, extremely low in the first half, and I just wonder whether sort of the new run rate or whether we will see an increase in the second half, and what you would think sort of a normalized CapEx level would be now including 3A. The second question, again on 3A, I wonder whether you could provide us with the growth rates in the different market segments in H1. The core materials, transport, display, and architecture. The last one, net working capital. We have obviously seen an increase in the first half given the strong top-line development. I just wonder whether you could provide a bit more insight what you would expect in the second half to happen with net working capital, whether we expect a further increase or whether that level is sort of reached.
Okay. Thank you, Roger, for your question. I will answer to the net working capital question, and then will hand over for the CapEx and the growth rates to Georg Greif, CEO of 3A Composites. Regarding the net working capital, we have had an increase in the first semester, as you have seen, mainly due to an increase of our overall business volume. In particular, we had an increase of our trade receivables position. Inventories did not increase significantly, which is a very good sign that we properly manage our suppliers. Trade receivables, you cannot avoid this increase. As long as we have increase in the net working capital, which follows the extension of our top line, I'm not concerned about that development. For CapEx and growth rate, I hand over to Georg.
Right. Growth rates in the first quarter have not to be automatically the same ones as we will see in the next quarter. That's just as an opening comment. In the first quarter, we had obviously a good growth in Asia, mainly in China, in the core material wind energy business. their local OEMs continue to grow their share locally, and we have a good access to our local strong distribution partners, so we participate currently quite successfully there in growth, and this is mainly for the foam and balsa core material business. The other growth, which was, we have to differentiate here from the regions in architecture, in Asia, and that is India, China domestic, and the other Asia-Pacific countries, the architecture was showing a lower growth than core materials, but still a good growth, whereas in the US, the architecture business, and that's just a reminder, we are not in the residential segment, we are more in institutional buildings, airports, hospitals, and so on. And there, the market is very flat, is behind even expectations. It's expected that architecture has a lag in the downturn, and so that was planned, but we see that there are not many signs that architecture is improving soon. The other good growth was, as Heinz Baumgartner has already mentioned, coming in the second quarter, mainly in display markets. In view of the crisis last year, many distributors have reduced their inventories significantly, so the whole supply chain was pretty empty. And in Europe and in US, in the second quarter, we saw quite significant orders to restock. And also there was a certain effect from price increase announcements due to the raw material cost situation. And then normally you see temporarily an increased order intake, and in display that turns very fast, so you will also see some fast short-term growth. The question regarding CapEx, we are obviously the driver of CapEx in the Schweizer Group today. And in the first half year, we have to make a difference between CapEx, which is linked to the standalone efforts. We are still in the process to carve out from Rio Tinto, and in one side mainly, in the German Singen side, we have some physical separation to do. Some of that has been done. A bit more is expected in the second half. So therefore, there will be an increase in CapEx coming from that side. The rest is more postponed or delayed operational CapEx for economic reasons, and some let's say a few months delay with some of the projects. However, CapEx in the second half of the year is expected to increase. Clearly, we have also not stopped or reduced investments in innovation, and we have now investments going on to put new capacity for new products in place, and that will also happen then in the second half of the year.
Okay, so you would still consider a normalized CapEx in 3A somewhere around 20-25 million, or that sort of?
I would say when we look in sustaining CapEx, we target normally at around 75% of depreciation. This and next year will be different. On one hand, again, for the separation activities, and on the other hand, we have some strategic initiatives where we have a better, clear short-term understanding that we will invest to grow the business faster. So I would say on a sustaining base, it's around 75% of depreciation to the depreciation level, and that is in the order of magnitude you mentioned.
Okay, excellent. Thank you.
We have a next question from Mr. Andreas Müller from ZKB. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call. I have a question actually on the raw material prices. You mentioned several times that has gone up. What do you expect going forward, how these material prices will evolve? And also, could you again indicate a bit how much balsa is in these overall material prices, and also kind of an outlook for the balsa wood price development, and also kind of the drivers behind it? That will be my first question.
Okay, I take that immediately, Heinz. We have more or less three categories of raw materials. One is metal, for a part of our product, so aluminum. The other one are plastic resins, more commodities, so polyethylene, polystyrene, PVC, and PET. As you mentioned, we have also balsa. LME has obviously been at historical pretty much low in early 2009, following the crisis. Currently, LME for us in London and in Shanghai, because we are based on both of these prices for our Asian and European business mainly, is roughly set half back to the level before the crisis. We have seen quite a steep increase in the second quarter. Currently, it's flattening out. It has come down a bit, and it's flattening out. And we see more for the rest of the year flat. But it's not necessarily the price, the cost for LME, for aluminum is not driven by really economics. It's also obviously the inventory levels and the speculation which is driving that. From the demand, we see obviously an increase driven by China and expect some increase on that side. The raw material, the resin systems, pretty similar, quite a strong increase after the crisis, mainly in the second quarter. Then there was some volatility end of second quarter, and now we see a sort of a stabilization going forward. All this means that in these categories, we have also adjusted some of our market prices. So now we see a more stable situation going forward. On balsa, it's a bit a different mechanism because we own the full supply chain also upstream. So it's less a question of raw material prices here. It's more a question on demand and availability and capacity. So the outlook is strong for the demand balsa overall. And we are now in front of the rainy season, so we will accelerate the harvesting as every year. We'll see how much we can follow up in time on the still strong demand. And that's driving more than the price in the market than our input cost.
Okay, and these three categories are roughly one-third each, or how should we look at that?
That would be a too simplistic view. We have mainly metal-based products in architecture and in one product line for display. Roughly said, that's perhaps 25% of our turnover, which is depending on LME and the metal price. On the other hand, we have to know architecture is using more metal than the display product. So architecture is not the strong growing business, as I mentioned before. The plastic resins, what I mentioned before on the trends, that's mainly applying to the display product. And all of our display business is directly linked to these commodity prices. And that's roughly 40% of the business, mainly in Europe and North America.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you. I was wondering also, can you give us, Mr. Baumgartner, an update on the break-even levels in the divisions?
Yeah, as I said, as we have properly managed the ramp-up in all divisions without significantly adding additional employees, break-even will remain rather low. So what does that mean? In textile machinery, we have a break-even around, for the whole year, probably between 50 and 60 million. In semiconductor, the break-even will be probably between 70 and 80 million. And in 3A composites, honestly spoken, I have never really calculated the break even, as this business was always so profitable. So I think if we wanted to talk about the break even, in 3A Composites, we had to make a breakdown for the different activities Composites is in. It might be leading a little bit too far for this discussion, but to give you an overall break even for the whole Composites business is probably relatively meaningless.
Okay. Thank you. In terms of personnel costs, would you assume also that going to be roughly flat for the second half, and is there potential also going down a bit next year as the group is probably stabilized, independent 3A, for example?
Yeah. Overall, I think we can manage even a higher turnover with roughly the number of employees we currently have. If we have an increase in number of employees, for instance, in Ecuador, this might be an impressive number in absolute figures, but cost-wise, that's not really relevant. There is a certain trend regarding the development of our headcounts and personal expenses in textile machinery. There we are having a similar trend as we have seen in semiconductor in the past. I would like to have my two colleagues in textile machinery and semiconductor to quickly comment on these developments.
This is Ernesto Mauro. I'm the CEO of the textile division. I believe that we will continue on approximately the same employee level in Switzerland or Europe as a whole, rather going down than going up. We will see a rather significant buildup in China and on our Asian operations. This is due to the growth rate that we have in the Asian market. We tend to have our employees more local than to have them in Europe.
Okay. In textile, what's your sense then, how this very good order intake and these very good revenues, you indicated how second half could be, but how far are we in an up cycle? Are we already far in there, or is there still lots of potential worldwide? Then I'm definitely also interested in your kind of proposition with the new products, and would you gain market share in this market as well?
As Heinz already mentioned, we see some little cooling off in the Chinese market. For the time being, this has been taken over by the Indian market, and we are certainly compensating for that. It is difficult right now to look far into 2011, and it is a well-known fact that the rapid growth we had in 2010, that we still have in 2010, is also due to the fact that all the stocks were emptied, that a lot of the downstream textile dealings were virtually on empty stocks all the way down to the consumer level. Therefore, we definitely will not see an infinite growth, but it might be possible to continue on a rather stable level for the next few months.
Okay, thank you very much.
I ask Lorenzo Charest, CEO of Ismeca, to quickly comment on development of a number of employees. Please, if you could also give us a quick update regarding innovations and new products, please.
Okay, thank you, Heinz. Lorenzo speaking from Ismeca. Basically, about the employees, maybe we need to understand where we are coming from. 4 years ago, we had two-thirds of the employees of Ismeca based in Europe and USA. Today is the other way around. We have roughly 70% of the employees that are based in Asia. So basically, the dependency and let's say the problem with the number of employees is not as significant as it would be for pure European-based companies. On the other hand, if you consider last year, it was an exceptionally low and difficult year for the whole semiconductor industry, probably worse than what we have experienced in the year 2000. Basically, it's a downturn, it's not a reference, and we should, even though it may happen again in the future, we should not consider it as something normal. So the number of employees today, we are in roughly at the 350 people, and I think this is in the range of a sustainable level on the long term, considering that there has been a shift in the past few years to China and Malaysia.
Thank you.
Innovations, can you also comment?
Yeah, maybe the second comment I have is really on the Ismeca revenue. We are historically extremely strong in discrete final packaging. We are extremely strong in QFN, in all the traditional semiconductor markets. Now, we benefit from a very strong innovation center in Switzerland. To give you an idea, we have multiplied by more than two the number of people doing innovation in Switzerland for the new products and the new technologies, in collaboration also with universities and schools. And basically, we are addressing today a few more markets and niches and applications that we were doing in the past. This is an example, and this is why Heinz introduced at the beginning that new product introduction is extremely important and relevant. Fortunately, it was successful in the past 6 months of the year, and we expect this to continue. This means, on the other hand, that the dependency on a single discrete market will be less strong in the future. One example is the LED market, where we are developing a lot of know-how, where we are developing solutions, and we expect this to become an important element of the revenue of Ismec in the future. Heinz?
Thank you, Lorenzo. Are there other questions, operator?
We have a next question from Mr. Ian Ifat from UBS. Please go ahead.
Hello, gentlemen. Congratulations for the strong results first. A couple of questions, please. I was really impressed that you were able to increase your wind market sales. As for my understanding, you're quite dependent on Vestas and Gamesa, and therefore it would be great if you could give us a split for the regional split of the wind sales and also for the customer split. This would be my first question. Second question would be if you can give us an update on the acquisition regarding timing, and also, if I understand it correctly, that the key priority is on some enhancing acquisitions or complementary acquisitions of the composite business. And the third question would be if you can please give us maybe your base case scenario for 2011.
Okay, thanks for your question, Mr. Ifert. I will comment on the acquisition question, which gives Georg Reif a little bit more time to think about what the information he can share with you regarding wind. Acquisition, and here we probably also have to talk about acquisitions not only in for composites but at group level. The base options are still the same and are still those we already indicated 12 to 18 months ago. We have roughly these 300 million in cash available, and we have a balance sheet which is basically debt free. Now, the options we still have are one or two minor complementary acquisitions, hopefully in textile machinery and in semiconductor, if we find something which does not only fit in but which is also available. In composites, We have a lot of ideas how to grow organically, which also may require some additional investments. And then, of course, we have ideas also in composites how to grow by acquisitions. I'm not expecting short-term a major acquisition again. We have a lot of work ahead of us to properly manage the ramp-up, and in 3A composites we are still in the standalone separation mode. However, as you never really can plan the timeline of an acquisition, I can't give you a precise timetable what will happen. In addition, we have another possibility to acquire a fourth division. This is also a possible scenario. We indicated that if, for instance, in machinery making, we would see an attractive opportunity to acquire a business, this is also an opportunity. These are basically the options we have, and on the time frame, as I said, as you never can do a precise planning of an acquisition, we will see. Does that more or less answer your question?
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks.
Okay, then I hand over to Georg Reif for your question regarding the split of the wind market.
Okay, there are several factors. Now I try to make it short. The first important point is a bit to understand the geographical situation. Let's say a year ago we had roughly a geographical participation which was more or less 50 in core materials, and this combines foams and balsa, of 50% in Europe and roughly 40% in the Americas. At that time, rest of the world, which means mainly Asia-Pacific, was roughly 10%. Now, in the crisis, as a consequence of the crisis, there is a shift, clearly, in two directions. One is to Asia, where we see clear an ongoing growth, which has never really been significantly slowed down during the crisis. And on the other hand, Americas is delayed. The wind business in U.S. is also now not yet picking up. And now in these countries, in these regions, we have two different situations again. In China, there is a situation that we have obviously Western or global players like Vestas, GE, and so on. And we have steadily growing, fast-growing local OEMs producing wind energy equipment. There, the clear trend last year was a significant shift to local producers, and the local producers, on the other hand, are not as stable players as the big Western ones, because they are growing fast the business, and this is not a simple product to do. So to become a stable, reliable manufacturer and supplier for this type of equipment is not the easiest thing to do. Therefore, we see a shift to significant more local customers in China. Even some of them are coming to the top three worldwide now and start obviously to go after export also. Now, in the Chinese population, we have our current balsa, now let's say core material participation in China is a very solid market share, which is mainly driven by the growth of the local customers and less by the global customers. The local customers we serve through our Chinese team and the distribution partner. The global customers we deal on a global base wherever they have their headquarters. From a further breakdown into single customers is perhaps a bit not so meaningful, because it depends on the technology they use. Depending if they use prepreg or resin infusion or whatever technology, they have a different need for the raw material. So we have customers where we have exclusively balsa we sell, and as we have a global significant share in the balsa business, so we have a big share with these customers, or sometimes even an exclusivity. On the other hand, in other technologies like infusion technology, you are not limited really in what type of material you can process, and therefore there is a pretty different situation on who is using PET, PVC and balsa. But obviously we have everywhere a significant share with the leaders like Vestas, like Enercon, like the blade manufacturer LM, GE in the US, and again a strong share in the Chinese local players list.
Thanks for elaboration. To make it more specific, is it fair then to assume that you, in 2009, you mentioned 50% of sales in Europe, 40% in North America, 10% in Asia. If I now say Europe 40% and North America 30% and 30% Asia, is this a fair assumption? The wind business?
Not far away from what we probably would see when things develop as planned, yes.
And also, overall, Vestas and Gamesa remain your largest customer, together accounting for some 30% of wind sales. Is it also fair to assume, just roughly?
They are still strong. I have not the breakdown at hand here. I doubt that Vestas is still number one, because in US they slowed down significantly. In Europe they have reduced capacity, and in China the growth was not as expected. But they are definitely under the top three.
Okay, and thanks for that.
Thank you. Next question, please.
It was one question left. I just was wondering if you maybe can share with us your base case assumption for the 2011 and for each division. Also, maybe let's get a little more color on where are we in the cycle and what are your base case assumption there.
Yeah, I think we are, as of today, in quite a good position to give you some guidance how the second semester of this year we see. I think it's a little bit early at this stage. However, I understand your needs. But on the other side, I think it's a little bit early at this stage to give you some meaningful guidance for next year. I mean, what we can give you as of today is, as I said, guidance for the next 6 months. On the other side, especially in textile machinery and in semiconductor, the visibility is historically rather low, and so I think the best thing I can give you as guidance as of today is that right now we do not see any major clouds in the sky. Regarding composites, I think what we can say as of today is that also for next year we are expecting a good volume and a good business in core materials, especially wind. This statement I think I dare to make. Regarding display, where the visibility is also rather low, I think it is difficult to give you a guidance, and the same is for architecture. Geographically wise, I think Asia will remain strong. The EU is okay, and as I said at the beginning, at least short term, we have a little question mark regarding the activities in the US.
Thanks a lot for this. And really the very final question, maybe an update on the tax rate. Is it fair to assume in the medium term something between 20-22%?
Yeah, that might be maybe a little much a too big challenge. If we are assuming medium to longer term a tax rate, let's say between or around 25, 28, something like that, this might be more on the safe side than the number you just mentioned.
Okay, thanks a lot.
We have a next question from Mr. Dan Pomerin from NZB. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. Two questions, if I may. First, on textile machinery, here revenues are again at the pre-recession level. In semiconductors, revenues are already above the level of 2008. At which capacity utilization are you currently operating in these two units? And then the second question on wind energy. Here in the first half, the markets in Southern Europe, Germany and the US have been pretty weak, while they have been strong in China. There are some companies mentioning that China is now also facing a weakening of its wind energy market in the third quarter. Do you have any indication that confirms this, or what is your view on the Chinese wind energy market in the second half? Thank you.
Thank you for this question. So we start first with the capacity utilization question. I hand over to Ernesto for textile, and I would like also Lorenzo to comment on for semiconductor.
Well, thank you, Heinz. When I have to make an assumption of what capacity we're using presently, then I must say we're approximately at 120% of our capacity.
Congratulations.
So we're basically using also temporary people to cover that. And as Heinz mentioned before, this is as we want to keep it, not in order to increase our break-even too much.
Okay.
Okay, so Lorenzo speaking for semiconductor. So basically the capacity utilization today is in the range of 100%. And the limiting factor, I believe, not only for Ismeca, for any company today managing a ramp-up, is not really on the people. We have a lot of people capable to do it. The question really comes from the supply chain. And this is where the limiting factor is. As of today, I'm confident that this is going to be managed correctly, as it was, I guess, we're already managed in the first half. So no limitation on the resources to ramp up, and a limited risk on the supply chain. On the other hand, I would like to highlight, you said compared to 2008, 2008 was already a downturn in semiconductor.
That's right. Yeah.
Correct. In the industry, the semi is always the first industry that goes into downturn, and then we recover faster than others usually. Yep. As you see today, that the machine industry is starting to recover, we are in the boom already for a while. So I would rather compare semi revenue stream more with the previous years.
Okay.
And basically, if you look over 6-7 years, the average is in the range of 90 million. So this also puts into perspective the 50 million we had in the first half, which are good, certainly, but they are not totally far off from the average the division is capable to provide and should be capable to provide in the future.
Okay.
Your second question was related to wind, and I hand over again to Georg.
Yeah, thank you, Heinz. Now, wind in China. We have seen really accelerated growth and in some periods 20-30% of growth. We should talk here about installed capacity, so installed power. And it is right that also to the end of last year we already had some indications that the year-over-year growth of installed capacity is slowing down because they have already reached quite a high level, and they were ahead of the official plans from the government for reaching a percentage of the total energy consumption coming from wind. Now there is, as usually, China can change pretty quickly their intentions, and what we have seen is that they now do not slow down really with the intention to increase the installed capacity, and they just maintain a quite high ambition level for regarding energy coming from wind. On the other hand, we have also to say not all the installed capacity is really linked to the grid. which means there is a certain mismatch in the whole system, and that may well in some areas result in a shift of now getting the energy really coming through instead of pushing new installations. But I think we will never see such a stagnation as we see today in US. We still expect to see a good growth in wind in China.
Okay, thank you. And maybe an add-on question. Could you please remind me of your dividend policy? What is the payout ratio one should expect going forward? Thank you.
Well, we had a dividend policy in the past where we paid out roughly one-third, if I remember correctly, of the annual income. Now, in the last 2 to 3 years, we slightly changed this policy in the way that due to our balance sheet and the substantial cash position, we decided to pay a stable dividend. Also, the operating result was not reflecting it. There are currently discussions at board level whether we will continue with, let's say, a more stable dividend policy, or whether we are going back to a percentage of the annual net income. So far, there have not been taken any decisions about this issue. I'm expecting to give you further guidance when we will release the annual results for 2010.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question, please.
We have a last question from Mr. Fabian Hecki from Bank Vontobel. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon, gentlemen. I have three rather quantitative questions left. Firstly, what are the lead times in semicon and textiles currently? Then the second question, what is roughly the share of your LED business in semiconductor? And then thirdly, could you kind of quantify the impact of your surging raw material prices in the composites business, or give kind of an indication what EBIT margin would have been achieved without this effect?
Okay, thank you for this question. So we start with semiconductor lead times and share of LED.
Yeah. So the basically the lead times today, we make different kind of machines, but to make it very simple, for the very standard machines, we are talking about 12 to 16 weeks, and for the complex machines manufactured in Switzerland, for instance, we talk about 16 weeks, eventually up to 18 weeks. This is roughly, I would say, at least 20-30% above our targets. However, it has not generated any significant loss of business. So it's still in the manageable side, especially that other suppliers today, for instance, large Hong Kong suppliers, they have 5-6 months lead time. So, and the customers, they have to build the whole manufacturing chain. So somehow it's manageable. Concerning the share, the market share in LED, I do not know any significant or any reference we could use. So there are not there are limited or partial or incorrect data available in the market. One way I can maybe approach the problem is, and to give you some guidance, is that we are serving with the highest share of wallet two of the most significant high-end, high-brightness LED supplier, and these players represent roughly 20% of the market worldwide in high-brightness LED. So this can give you a guidance of what could be our market share by extrapolating the data.
Just to make an addition regarding LED, the percentage of our LED revenues in percentage of our total revenues will be for this year around 10%, with an increasing trend. Regarding your third question, raw material, this is related to 3A composites. Georg, could you comment on that, please?
Sure. Again, it depends on the product category. In the metal-based product, as I mentioned before, we have normally a lag in pushing through price increases based on higher input cost. On the other hand, we have to have in mind, in metal, we have seen a dramatic drop in metal cost in the crisis. In some geographies, in some areas, we were able to still maintain the price level. If the prices would have stayed on a low level, we would have to give in with some prices on the market side. Without raw material increase, it does not mean necessarily that there would not have been an impact on the margin. In general, there is a lag of a few months before we can react on that side. As I mentioned before, there was an impact in the first half on the cost, and there will be an impact on the second half on the revenue side, which is probably then netting out over the year. In the plastic resins, we have, again, two categories. We have high-end product where competition is very limited, margins are solid, and in this area, we can more easily pass price increases through than in the more mid-range products where we have more fragmented competition, and there is also the direct impact on the input cost is much more relevant. There we lose obviously then more, and we have also to have in mind that the high-end margin products are in a crisis, not the ones which the customers still continue to put on their first choice, and some of them go to mid-range products and come back afterwards. This sounds all a bit difficult to sort out. To give you a somewhat direct answer, I would say in the first half, we may have had a negative impact on raw material side by 1% on the gross margin perhaps, or 1.5%. We expect to have an adverse situation then in the second half and compensate that again. The order of magnitude over the mix, over the geographies, over product categories, exchange rate, and all the stuff is around 1% or 2% on the gross margin. I have to say, when you then look in the situation, we were more than able to compensate that so that this is not going straight through to the bottom line.
Thank you, Georg. Do we have another question?
Could I ask another question?
Yes, go ahead.
Or just come back to the lead time. Maybe I missed it, but the lead time in the textile division?
Okay. Ernesto?
Well, the lead time is approximately 8 to 12 weeks for standard machines and goes up to 12 to 16, and sometimes even to 20 weeks for more sophisticated process machines. This is, as already mentioned in the semiconductors, not limited to labor force, but limited to the supply chain. We are among the peers in the textile machinery business. We are rather on the average side, and some of the larger machines even go up to 1 year. As Lorenzo mentioned, that is the same with us, this has not led to any problems with placing the orders or concluding the orders. It is a fact that in the entire textile machinery business, lead times have gone up considerably.
Thank you very much.
Do we have another question, operator?
There are no further questions.
If there are no further questions, I would like to thank everybody for your interest in this conference call. I would like to thank my colleagues for participating as well, and I will give back to the operator.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you all for attending. You may now disconnect.